Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I am your host, Jay Ross, for Soul Cravers Radio, and I am so excited to have this next guest with me. I've been waiting for months and months and months, and I'd like to introduce the talented, beautiful Miss Raina Scott. Raina.
Oh, Jay, it's so nice to be with you today. Absolutely. We're friends, and I'm so glad we were able to come together.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I've been trying to just, you know, I've been following you since back then, and, you know, I pretty much know your, you know, history of music, of who you are as an artist and what you're doing now, too, which I love. So let's go on timeline.
Shall we?
Yes, can we? And I don't even have to read up on what I know about her, because she's been doing this since she was young, you know, pretty much like 13, right?
Well, actually, I started off let's go back. Actually, was starting to sing in the mirror at, you know, 5 and 6 years old, remember church songs from when my parents took me to church. But my parents had a very volatile marriage. I mean, there was a lot of domestic violence. And mm-hmm. it really just caused, it really had a profound effect on my life. So I started singing in the mirror to God, singing songs like We Are the Soldiers, We're in the Army, and different songs, and tears would come down my eyes. And it drew me close to God, because I kept saying, why, Lord, am I doing this? So, you know, it's a difficult situation when you see your mom hit, nose broke, and it's your dad, and you're the only one can stop him. It caused me to become an advocate against domestic violence. But to go back into when I started is really when I started at around 5 or 6 years old, but I didn't know I could sing until I was 12 years old, when I started going to church with my aunt and some of my cousins every Sunday, and they were in the choir. And one Sunday, I just went up there and knew that was what I wanted to do, and I wanted to sing and be in church. And one Sunday downstairs, it was a Baptist church in Detroit, Michigan, where I'm originally from, by way of Hamtramck and Highland Park, I must say that, Michigan. But yeah, so I started to, back then we stay in church morning, noon, and night.
Right.
And we'd get some Kentucky Fried Chicken and hang out downstairs in the basement. There was a piano down there, you know, in between services. And one Sunday, the church pianist director was playing one of the songs that an incredible lead singer had led. And I started singing some of it. Everybody was just doing what they were doing, and they stopped and said, oh, my God, you can really sing. And I was like, really? I didn't know I could sing. So they put me up there that Sunday evening, and the church went wild. Holy Spirit came through, and people started running up and down the aisles and knocking over benches. And I thought, Lord, this is way bigger than me. I don't know what's going on here, but it's something, you know.
That's the Spirit calling right there.
Yeah, and people realized and made me realize that I had a gift. And I call it sincerely a gift, because it was a gift from God. And music brought me through a whole lot of stuff. So at the age of 13, I entered a big talent contest that was held at the Fox Theater every year, where they hold big concerts now. They remodeled it. But back in the day, it used to be the venue for the Motown Review. And they always had lots of talent. There was like 500 tryouts, I think, and like 10 people made it. And I was one of them. I was 13.
Oh, wow.
And they always had a major act on there from Motown, you know, to go along with the talent show. And that mm-hmm. year it was the Original Temptations, David,
wow.
Otis, Eddie. I mean, in their height. Can you imagine in 1968, man, they were...
Oh, yeah.
They were on fire. Can you imagine being a 13-year-old girl and being on the same stage and looking at them and saying, oh, my God. Because this was the first thing I had done outside of church, you know, that was secular. And the
right.
organist wrote a song for me called I'm Just a Little Girl Out Here Doing My Thing at 13. So that was the beginning of my secular career, along with I kept singing gospel all the while. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. And so along the the years when, you know, growing up, you did you kind of mixed in the secular more, or you kind of did more of the commercial more?
You know what? When I realized that I could make money doing singing, it blew me away, okay? Because I was like, these people are going to pay me to sing, which was, you know, awesome for me. So I started singing in a lot of the clubs around Detroit, and I started opening up for the, we go back to the Temptations, the original Temptations, back into after that, and Dennis Edwards started singing with the Temptations. I would open up for them, the Four Tops, the Originals, the Undisputed Truth. I mean, you talk about, you know, and being like 13, 14, and at 15, I got my first record deal. I got a record deal with a company called Uptight Productions out of Detroit. And in turn, they got me a deal with Epic Records, and I had three singles on Epic Records from the time I was 15, 16, and 17. And that was my opening of the world really seeing me. And it did quite well. The first single was I Just Can't Forget That Boy, and it went, I think, something like 40 in Cashbox and Billboard. It did well, and people started to recognizing who I was. And so there's a lot after that, of course. The first thing that came along was Ronnie McNair asked me to do a single.
Oh,
I did a single
okay.
with him. And then Aretha heard about me from her brother Cecil Franklin, who was also in gospel, and a friend of his, a preacher friend of his, told him about me, and he started taking me under his arm to manage me somewhat. But you know, Aretha was doing so much, he wasn't a whole lot going on, but he did expose me to other things. And then he also asked me if I wanted to sing background with Aretha at Carnegie Hall. And can you only imagine your idol? Okay, your idol, the one I mean, you just truly love and adore, and you're able to stand next to him and sing with him, and to go to New York the first time to Carnegie Hall with a full orchestra and gowns, and I mean, it just blew me away. And then we came to California and did some a song with Jerry Wexler, who was a well-known producer back then in Columbia. We went in the studio and, you know, did background for that, and Pine Knob in Detroit, just several things. And so that was an experience of a lifetime, I can only tell you. And then Michael Henderson came along and asked me if I wanted to do a duet with him. And and of course, I knew it was going to broaden my career. And of course, I said yes, and we went in the studio, and it was the first take we did of Take Me, I'm Yours.
Are you
serious? Serious, the first take. They kept the first take in. I really didn't realize how big that record was. You know, that was in 1978. And actually, it's the biggest record that Michael Henderson has ever had in his career.
Exactly.
It went to number three on the R&B Billboard charts. And we toured all around the United States. And we were on, like, bills with stadium crowds with Ashford and Simpson, Natalie Cole, Patti LaBelle. Okay, so we go to the people that I just, like, I loved Aretha, but I started sounding so much like her when I go back, and they said, you know, you got to really, it's only one, you got to start molding your own sound. And Patti LaBelle was another one that I started listening to, as well as Gladys Knight, Mavis Staples, even Barbara Streisand, because I wanted versatility. I wanted to be able to do, you know, show songs, ballads, up-tempo. I wanted to do all that. So when you're able to work with those kind of people, that just blew me away. I mean, Patti literally came down to our dressing room and just put her head down and said, girl, you can sing. And I went, oh, my God, this is Patti LaBelle telling me I can sing. Blew me away.
Yeah, that song, Take Me Out Yours, it stood out, that album. And I love the In the Nighttime album, but that one song right there stood out, and it's like the opening of the album. And I kept saying to myself, this movie could sing. And so I started growing into, like, digging in more of your career. And so I'm like, okay, I know she got some stuff out there. And then, like in the year after, you got signed to Buddha and released your debut, Come On In This. come on inside.
Yeah, that happened as a result of how big Take Me I'm Yours went, because Michael was signed with Buddha, distributed by Arista. And when we went on tour, we had, again, you know, stadium crowds and standing ovations every night, man. We worked the crowd, okay? We did the thing.
I saw some of them go the throwback pictures, and I saw the chemistry on stage, so I know you gave them a show. I could just see it. I said, these are some good throwback pictures. Like, yeah, because I saw the energy together with you both on stage, and I know that song. Oh, my goodness. I just get goosebumps talking about it.
So Buddha signed me. I mean, it's so crazy because of the reaction to the crowd and how well the record did. They signed me to a deal, and they brought in the great duo team, Entombi and Reggie Lucas, who were some of the hottest producers back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay, and at that time, they had just finished Stephanie Mills' album, Phyllis Hyman, who was also signed to Buddha. Roberta Flack, who they worked with a lot. They were actually in her band, and they came out of that into producers and writers. And so I was honored when they brought in, and they were such nice guys. Oh, my, treated me so, so nice. And Buddha gave me a hefty budget. They gave me a $100,000 budget to do that album. And back in 1978, that was a lot
of
money. To do an album. So they brought in real strings and horns and some of the greatest musicians in New York. And we put this thing together in 2 weeks. They had all the songs that they, Tawana Agee wrote that great song, If I Had a Chance. So she sang with Juicy, it's on Juicy Fruit, but in the Entombi band. And all of them just treated me so wonderfully. And then also the producer, president of, it's funny, that after Buddha signed me, Arista came right behind me and wanted to sign me, but it was too late. I had already signed directly with Buddha. But they still distributed the record, which, you know, made it happen too as well. But to say that is that after that all happened and I thought everything was going great and, you know, the president brought me into his office and Arcas and gave me, it was my birthday, they gave me this big old nice little birthday party up in his office with fancy cake and food, and they wined and dined me for 2 weeks, you know, and I'm in New York just hanging out with Entombi and Reggie, and the whole thing, the whole vibe was absolutely incredible. So we finished the album, and very excited. You know, we had some great ballads and some disco, because disco was kind of changing too. It was going to more musical and less vocals.
I heard disco cuts on there, yeah.
Yeah, and so I thought, you know, so then all of a sudden everything's going great, and Buddha Records goes bankrupt. And I just like, oh, my God, what just happened? I'm just right here. I'm right here. I'm finally at the doorstep. And they had some kind of a situation with Gladys Knight, who was signed to Buddha as well. And when they started going into the movie part of it, something happened with them and Buddha Records and caused the downfall for Buddha. And I thought it was a downfall for me, too, because I couldn't believe that it happened. So lo and behold, the internet comes along years after, and I find out that the Europeans all through Europe, Germany, Italy, France, they're still playing my music. They are still playing it and know my name for my first record. I just can't forget that boy in 1971. I'm just blown away. Like, are you serious? I thought it was just done for, okay? So that was amazing. They still play some of the cuts from there. But so then, you know, I kind of done as much as I could do in Detroit, and I really felt like it was time for me to either move to New York or move to California to make things happen because, you know, Motown had already left, and lots of musicians from Detroit had left just to try to make a living. A lot didn't make it. They had to come back. So I came out and got a gig in Las Vegas, singing background and singing duet with this guy, did that for a while. Then I ended up getting a gig. That was at the Landmark Hotel. Then I ended up getting a gig at Caesar's Palace, with a great band
okay.
there from Las Vegas. And so I did Caesars for about two months, but I knew that I had to make a way to L.A. because it was warmer, and I didn't want to go to New York because it was cold, and I was just like being in Michigan. So, and it's so very expensive as well here, but at least you get some sunshine. So anyway, I'm just saying. So I go and I get this gig at Caesars, and then I end up moving to California to the L.A. area. Because lots of friends, like I said, was out here. Byron Miller, who played for George Duke and Luther for many years. We were high school friends. So he helped me out for a couple of weeks, and I got to stay at my cousin's house out here. So I was going back and forth trying to find my way. And I met a great man in Las Vegas. And I mean, a good man, a man who was honorable and all that. But and I was not looking for one, okay? Because I was gonna tell you, I had sold my wild oats after I left Michigan. I got to Las Vegas. I was like, oh my gosh, you got all kinds and types. And I should not say that. Lord, forgive me. Okay. So, but I met him after I decided to get my act together, and so then I got the gig. I got to California, and Byron turned me on to an incredible attorney who took me under his arms and got me an audition with the Jazz Crusaders. And they were getting ready to go on tour through America, all around the U.S., and all around Europe. And that had always been one of my major dreams, to go to Europe and perform. I just couldn't believe. So when I tried out for them, they picked me and went. And that was an incredible, incredible, incredible journey to all the original guys. If you can only imagine, around 80, I think around 87 it was, somewhere in there.
Wow.
And we did Switzerland, the Montrose Jazz Festival, which is famous all over the world, Italy, Florence, Milano, Spain, England, Sweden, Switzerland, some everywhere. I mean, places that I could only dream of going. And we had 40,000 to 50,000 people in these outdoor festivals just screaming and knowing all the words. And I did one song, Street Life. I came in after Randy Crawford left. And I did Street Life. 40,000 to 50,000 people of every nationality and color. If you can only imagine what that's like. I mean, that took me to a whole other, you know, level. Performing, and they would know all the words but didn't know any English, except they knew the words to that song, and they just standing ovations every night. And that just blew me away. Got back and I got a record deal with a company called Sedona Records, which this attorney also helped me with, and he also got me where I had gone to Paris to do a song for a movie, a soundtrack movie called Hold Up. So I did that. I went to Paris. I did that. And then I came back and got this record deal with Sedona Records in 1988. And we put out an album called Love Zone. And that did very well. But on the
really
flip
good.
Side, again, this the company that was distributing was not really a record distributing company, but it was more of a video distributing company, exercise videos. I forget this lady who was very famous back in the 80s. Kathy something, and she had many exercise videos that did well, but then same thing, they went bankrupt.
Oh, wow.
And the same thing that happened with Buddha happened with this CD, Love Zone. I was floored because I did my first video, okay, so then, okay, this is a whole nother, here we're getting ready to go now again, we're going to do it now, do a video, you know,
right.
I mean, the video, I'm doing promotional tours all over the U.S. I went and saw my boy Donnie Simpson over there at Video Soul, and we had the video playing on all the video shows, even MTV and the other one. We had it going. We put lots of money into to this situation, and there it was. They went bankrupt. So I'm thinking again, oh, my gosh, what just happened? what just happened? So for many years, you know, I had offers of other companies. I even had a deal with another company in the UK, but they just wanted to take everything, you know. And I write a lot of my songs. I co-write them with other great writers and producers, a lot of the producers that I've worked with, namely Lloyd Tolbert, who passed away less than a year ago. It broke my heart. But nevertheless, we did this, and there it was again. It was gone. So my husband and I decided to form our own record label called Amore Records back in 2004. And the Internet, it really started to going at that time, so that gave me a lead to be able to promote my own music. But so then what we did was we put our bank up, okay, and we did TV ads. I'm telling you, we did TV ads on MTV, on BET, on all the different other stations behind the black sitcoms. We had commercials running. We had radio commercials running simultaneously all over the country. We spent quite a bit of money on this video, and we had it in Technicolor. So this was our first CD. But then we decided in 2004 to go back and redo it, remaster it, change the pictures, and do a dual disc. Do two of my videos on one side on DVD, and then you turn it over to the CD side. Yep, and you play the music on the CD side. And we had Sony Records do it, you know, so we really put up, and then we hired a distribution and marketing company out of Chicago. We hired a PR firm on staff, mind you, out of L.A. We hired a video promoter out of New York. So we covered New York, Chicago, L.A. We had it surrounded in all the things, and then we went all around the country doing promotional tours, where I would go by the record stores. We were in FYE. We were in Amazon. We were in Barnes & Noble bookstores. We were in all the record stores, the mom and pops. We were in the big stores. We were all over the place, okay? And we went and did TV shows, morning news shows, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox morning news shows, in all these different cities. We fly in. I got a bodyguard / driver. We fly into these different cities, and then we also did radio. So we go around radio and doing radio interviews as well. I was busy, okay? We were working this thing. So, but it paid off because one of the singles, A Love Thing. But the single, Remember, went to peaked at number 5 on the R&B hip hop hot singles sales.
Okay.
And then also, then the second single, A Love Thing, went to number 1. And this we're talking about Billboard on the R&B hot hip hop single sales, number 1. And we stayed in the top 25 for 2 months, a month or so. And it blew me away. And I got a lot of leasing deals out of that, to lease the songs and all after that. So also, the title track was used in a blockbuster movie for HBO, Cinemax, Stars, BET, ABC, all over the world. The title track, Let Me Love You, and it was starring Regina King, Courtney Vance, Ed Asner,
yeah,
and Kathleen
Turner.
Yeah, and they still play it because I still get my royalties. So.
I was just about to say that. I know they still running that movie, and you get paid.
Yeah, because it's been played all over the world. So, I mean, there are places that I can't even pronounce that they've played and they played it twice. They played it in the beginning, and then they played it. It was about a detective who, you know, was out of love, and Regina King was his love interest, and had been hurt, so... the song Let Me Love You, she stood on the stairs through like over a minute of it while it played, and he drove down the street. I was like, all right now.
I was like, cha-ching.
That's right. Exactly.
But speaking of that, your music now is actually everywhere now. Even your previously released ones, Come On Inside and Love Zone, on digital platforms now. Which is,
you know, that's what's so great about the internet. The internet really saved a lot of artists like myself, who you can get, you know, like the big record labels, which is not a whole lot of them anymore anyway. But, you know, I've been in the music business for over 42 years. Shall I say that? Because I started so young, you know, and it's changed a lot. And so this platform has given us a way for people to hear our music, for people to buy it, for them to support, you know, us in concert and whatever we're doing. And let me just go back, too. You know, I was privileged also to work, when I talk about the Temptations. Before I left Detroit, I was privileged to work with David Ruffin. I went on, and it's just...
Oh, wow.
It's amazing, because I take you back to when I was 13 and I first met him when he was with the Temptations. And now we talk about after he left the Temptations and I went on tour with him, which is amazing. I also went on tour with Bobby Womack. And also when I came to California the first time, I left this out, I forgot, I did a duet with Phil Perry, which is like my brother now. We like brother and sister, on Osama Kitajima's album. Record called Say You Will. And it's been re-released several times on different UK labels.
Yeah.
So I've just been privileged to work with a lot of great people. And which brings us up to, like, I've had several records. Like, we'll just go back to the first one, which was Come On Inside. And then to Love Zone in 88. Then we come up to 2005, which is the one that I released. Let Me Love You, the dual disc. And then in 2010, I released another one on my independent label, Amore Records, called Take Me Away.
Take Me Away.
And that was really such a privilege for me, because I got a chance to really co-write all the original songs with Lloyd Tubbard. And that was just amazing, because we'd go in the studio, the two of us, and he did all the instruments, and I did all the background vocals and vocal arrangements. So I have been privileged to work with a lot of people, and coming up to, gosh, you have some things, because I can talk fast.
No, I'm just saying. I'm loving it. And, you know, I want to play A Love Thing, actually the song that went number one on the Hot 100, on the Hot R&B and Hip Hop Sales Chart.
And
I want to play it. So I want you to introduce it to everybody.
Well, you know, I wanted to come back and do something really smooth and was loving and a medium tempo. And so Lloyd and I put our heads together, and we came up with A Love Thing. And it's one of my favorite songs on my Take Me Away album. And here it is right now with J. Ross, baby. Thank you.
Yes, I love that song. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and it's on all digital platforms, so get it, y'all. Yes, we got some brown and sexy going on, Raina.
That's right. That's what it is, baby. But they can find all my music on iTunes, Amazon. I mean, it's Spotify,
mm-hmm.
everywhere. I'm all over the place. I appreciate your support. We are getting ready to go back into my vault for my next single. I don't say too much about it, but I co-wrote it with the late, great Skip Scarborough, who wrote Don't
wow.
Ask My Neighbors. You know, I mean,
yeah.
he is just,
Can't
yeah,
Hide
and
Love. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Love Ballad, LTD.
Woo! The man.
Yeah, come on now.
Off the chain.
Yeah.
So, actually, I'm going to go in my vault, and I'm going to pull this out, and you're going to be shocked who's playing on it. That's all I'm going to say. We will be releasing it by the end of March, and I'm very excited about it, so excited. And, you know, I did acting, too. I did a one-woman show of Billie Holiday, Lady Day, here in
yeah.
Santa Monica, California, at the Odyssey
uh-huh.
Theater, and I've done some commercial jingles for Levi's 501. Several things, and I do voiceovers as well, so I enjoy doing all that.
And I'm so very proud of you because you learning the business, you decided to take it into your own hands and do your own label and release your projects that's doing very well, and, you know, you're just like a machine right now, and you keep on going. So, you know, but it's amazing. I see the whole layout, the presentation of it. It's good. It's very
Thank
good.
You.
Sound, everything.
I was inducted into the R&B Hall of Fame in 2016, which was a major honor.
Yeah.
Along with Smokey Robinson, Dionne Warwick, Kathy
wow.
Hughes of TV One. What a great honor. And a blessing, and I was able to perform as well, Take Me, I'm Yours. So that was an amazing part of my life. I've been performing around different parts with Michael Henderson and some other things I've been doing. I'm on
mm-hmm.
several CD compilations out of Europe that have put me on with some of the other great soulful independent ladies. So my music goes on, and, you know, I'm doing a lot of it myself. I just left France in October. I did...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, performing in France with Garfield Fleming, which was awesome. Awesome, awesome. Did Las Vegas a year ago for Soul Trip USA. So I'm out there doing it. If you want to book me, come check me out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Contact
mm-hmm.
me. And look for this new single. I've had several singles out since my last Take Me Away CD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I'm still doing this. As long as God tells me I can, that's what I'm going to do.
But you're doing it, and I see you.
I'm doing it. So
you have my love and support, Raina, as always.
Thank you so much, Jay. Thank
yeah,
you so much. And I really appreciate the fans so much. They have truly just come out to support me in all my endeavors. And my career has been extensive. Also, a love thing is so funny because about 2 years ago, a company out of the Netherlands contacted me and wanted to remix A Love Thing and remember the two songs that I told you charted on the Billboard charts. And they took it and they did a soulful dance version of both of them, and they also did an up-tempo techno version,
uh-huh.
a house version of it. So you can find all that stuff. It amazed me how they took a ballad and just changed it to a dance.
Yeah, and that's the one I used on my promo for this interview.
Yeah, Love Thing, and they did Remember, and on the Remember remix, we got over 73,000 hits, so come on, y'all, keep hitting me on YouTube. I've got, I guess at least 9 or 10 pages on YouTube, And Michael and I have gotten just on one site a million and a half hits on Take Me, I'm Yours. So good music just lives forever. It just goes on and on. And I want them to know that, yes, I'm still out here. Take Me, I'm Yours, open the door. And now you guys just come on and walk on in with me with this other music. And hopefully I'll see all of you soon in a city near you.
Right, and then Raina, I really appreciate you doing this and taking the time out to do this interview with me. You know, it's been long overdue because you played a big part of the soundtracks of my life with your music, because you as an artist, I feel the passion to sing vocally in your music, and I really appreciate that you know, I'm honored, actually, to, you know, you chose little old me.
Oh, please. No, you chose little old me, okay? We chose each other, let's just put it that way. Absolutely, love. And we will be hooked at the hip from here on, so you can bet that. You can't get rid of me now.
Yeah, I know that, because when you release this new album, we're going to do another one here. So I'm open, so just give me a date and let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to do it sometime this spring, because I want to hit you again with a new single. They're going to be blown away. That's all I can say.
I'm already blown away. Whatever you release, I'm blown away, because I just see what you're doing now. It's good, you know, and me as a fan, I appreciate everything, and I'm glad that you took the time out to do this interview with me, and there's going to be plenty more of it. So anytime you release anything, because you're the boss lady now, because you can control your own label, you know. You come here to Soul Cravers Radio, and I got you with open arms. No
hesitation. Love you, love you, love you, my dear friend, and love to all my friends and family out there who has supported me from the very beginning. It's been a journey, but it's been a good journey, and I just appreciate you so much. So God bless all of you, and until we get back together again, baby. I'll see you for now.
Hey, and that was it, y'all. Thank you guys for listening in, and thank you, Raina Scott, again for being my guest. So tune in next Sunday, same time, same place. Soul Cravers Radio, peace.